Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. And here we are, all safe and sound and back from the big city. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. The 1st of October. This is Amy's favorite month. She's a Halloween girl. So she's all about decorating for Halloween and all that stuff, which is fine. It's fun. So, hope everybody had a good weekend. Let me hang on just a second. Okay. I had to rush down. Had a hectic weekend. We had so much to do. I tried to get down. I had an appointment this morning, early this morning in Phoenix. And tried to get down there last night. I had problems and water leaks and stuff at a property in town that I had to go help a guy get taken care of. So we were like 3 hours late getting out of here, which put us down there about midnight, which gave me about 4.5 hours sleep before time for my appointment, which wouldn't have been too bad, except the night before I went and did one of those sleep study things and did everything but sleep. I hated it. It was, I doubt if I slept 3 hours all night long, so it's starting to catch up with me. I've got some stuff that I'm going to talk about. It's not that I wanted to. I'm going to. I'm not as nearly as prepared as I hope to be. As a matter of fact, I'm not prepared at all. I'm just going to go yank it out of thin air and see if we can make it come together and make it understandable here. So let me go check first the chat room and see if there's 5x5. All right. Thank you, T-Bone and Copper. Glad you guys are on top of it there. We had a few more people come in. Let's see who all is in there. Copper and Tinker and Mountain Shooter and Nan and NM Glock, Northwest Heavy made it in again. Glad to see you. And Yakima Glock, a couple of Anonymous. All right, good deal. Okay, let's, where do I start here? Got several different things that were, aside from the news stories that I wanted to touch on. I guess one of the things that came up, there was a listener concerned about, sent me an email and asked about optics. You know, wanted a spotting scope. And I said, well, what do you need a spotting scope for? Well, they didn't like binoculars. Okay, so what do you need a spotting scope for? And so it's one of many, many topics, you know, where you can get into, you know, reloading or radios or, you know, cars, whatever, you know, mountain bikes or something. It's all going to depend on the purpose that you need it for. Spotting scopes are not used for the same thing that binoculars are. And I think if you're wanting to see long distance, then it's probably necessary that you have both. Very, very powerful binoculars are difficult to use up close. You know, they're fine if you're got your elbows rested somewhere and you're looking way out across out yonder. But if you're trying to hold it up, let's say 20 power or better binoculars. I've got a set of 25 power binoculars. And they're hard to use. But if I can get rested, you know, on the window of the pickup or resting on a fence or something like that, they're great. You can see way out there. But if I'm trying to follow something that's moving, now these are straight 25 power. You can't turn them down. So if I'm trying to follow something that's moving, you know, an animal or a vehicle or something like that, it's really hard to keep up with them. It's just too bouncy, too jiggly. So something down about a 10 power binocular, maybe 12 is about the most that I want to get. on your binoculars, we did an optic show here a while back. I'm not going to get as quite as detailed as we did last time. It hasn't been, I don't know, I guess it's been a year, probably been 2 years. Maybe I should. But it's just whatever I can pull out of midair here, and we'll put it together. But on your binoculars and your scopes and your spotting scopes and everything else, there's usually going to be at least two numbers and often three. The last number will always be the size of your objective lens in millimeters. The objective lens is the one farther away from you, farthest away from you. That's the one, the largest one generally. And for binoculars, I like a 50 millimeter objective lens. Unless it's compact binoculars, then I like 12 by 25. So that's a straight power. There's just two numbers. The 12 is for the power of the optics. Basically, it's how many times one power is about what you can see with the naked eye. It's just doesn't magnify at all. And anything above that, two power is get you twice as close. 10 power gets you 10 times as close or 10 times larger than what you're looking at with the naked eye. So, but sometimes there's a third number, and that's generally going to be either in spotting scopes and or rifle scopes. And with that third number is going to be your first two numbers means that is a variable power. So let's say you have a 3-9 scope. That means 3-9 by say 40. That means you can turn it down to 3 power, which is great for close in. You know, you're hunting in heavy brush or something. You might be getting into some fast moving targets or something in close range. So the 3 power works a lot better for that. If you're out there a little farther than your higher power, you just simply reach down and turn it up and get out to 9 power or whatever your scope is. It may be a 4 to 12, 4 to 16, 3 to 9, 2 to 7, 1 to 5, 2 to 5, whatever it might be. The third number, again, is your objective lens. The larger that objective lens is, the more light it gathers, and the better you can see it into the evening or early morning. And that's great if you're looking for animals and stuff out there. But again, if it's a 20 by 60 is okay, because the spotting scope generally is going to have either a tripod that you can set on the ground or on the hood of the pickup or something, or a window mount. The window mount clamps to you roll your window down the right amount and you sit on the seat and drink Diet Dr. Pepper and scan the hill over there. So there's a little clamp that screws into the same place that your tripod unscrewed from and screw the window mount in there, and you can just sit there in the comfort of your pickup and scan for animals. Now, the 60 power spotting scope, you're not going to hold it by hand and see anything out there. It's just too much movement. Every heartbeat, every movement, everything that you do is going to come out in that glass, and you can't see anything very well. So if you're looking for a compact spotting scope just for getting out there, you know, a decent ways out there, look at something like a 10 to 40 or something like that. It's a lot easier to handle. The 60 power is great, though, if you want to get way out there. If you're looking at, now let's say you're looking at targets. You want to sight your rifle in, you're checking your targets out. Unless you're shooting at, several hundred yards, a good clear spotting scope of 40 power is more than enough to get out there and check your targets. Let's say if you're sighting in at 200 yards, hell, 12, 15 power, 20 power is way plenty to get out there. But the other thing is, when you start looking at these higher power optics, the manufacturer pretty soon is going to come into play there. You can get away with the cheaper or the mid-range stuff up to, well, even 45 power spotting scopes. If you buy the real cheap ones, it's not the magnification that you get out at that range is just so unclear that it's not worth the money. You can see more with a good quality 20 power scope or binoculars than you can a 60 power scope that's not very good quality. So your mid quality stuff that's affordable, Tasco makes pretty good stuff, Simmons makes pretty good stuff. But when you get up into your 60 power, you may find that those are not quite as good as you'd like for them to be. Bushnell is another one that's kind of mid-range, pretty decent stuff. You want to get into something better to where you can really see in detail out there, Burris is one of the best ones on the market for the price. They're pretty pricey compared to Simmons and Tasco, but they're not as pricey as Zorofsky and Zeiss and things like that. Burris makes outstanding optics. I've got a couple of Burris scopes and some Burris rangefinders and stuff, and that's the way to go. But be advised that they are a lot more money than the other ones. But you don't need them necessarily unless you're looking at real high power stuff. The 60 power, you're going to be kind of disappointed in it once you, Doc put in there something about Steiner. Steiner's another one. Great, great optic. Steiner does a good job. You can take your 60 power binoculars, your 60 power spotting scope, and set it out there, you know, made by Tasco or whoever. And you look way out across the pasture, and you look at a house or a barn or a car or a train or a big rock or a mountain or something, and you say, wow, this really brings it in. Well, yeah, but can you see that bighorn sheep standing on top of that mountain? Can you tell if the window's rolled up or down on the car? Is the door on the house open or shut? Is there somebody standing on the porch? All of those things you could see clearly with a spotting scope that costs more money. So what I'm saying is, if you just want to look out there and look at mountains and rivers and rocks on the other side of the state with your 60 power thing, then fine. Then, you know, get something that costs $99 or something. But if you want to see the detail of it and see the animals and see the people and all that kind of stuff, then you're going to need to spend, you know, $400 or $500. You can get a pretty darn good one for $250, $300, something like that. But if you really want to get into it, you're going to spend at least $400 or $500. The good ones, you can spend as much as you want, but, you know, there's a lot of them that are $800, $1,200. Not anything you just want to take out on a hike to look and see where the trail goes up the mountain or something. That's not necessarily not worth it if you don't have the cash to throw into it. Hold on. Hang on just a second. Had to get a little air moving in here. So the power on that's the same with your compact binoculars and all that. I'll tell you, your Simmons and Tasco and Bushnell all make outstanding, very affordable compact binoculars. If you want to get a good spotting scope or something like that to see out there a pretty good ways, then that's fine. But don't forget your smaller binoculars. A 12 by 25 binocular is something you can wear around your neck or drop in your shirt pocket or something. And if you need to just check out where the trail's going or look and see, you know, is that vehicle coming my way? Do I need to get off the road and hide? Or do I want to come over, run across the field here where they can see me and flag them down or something like that? You can't do that with a spotting scope. If you're going to need the spotting scope, the binoculars is usually a good idea to have also. So, and that's, there's so much more. We could spend, last time I talked about optics, we spent the entire show doing it. So, but I've got too much to talk about this time, so we're not going to do that. But that kind of gives you an idea of some options that you have if you're looking at stuff to go hunting with or hiking or shooting. You want to go out and shoot competitive shooting. When you're shooting competitive, you're going to want to put more money into it than you are if you're just going out and sighting in targets. You know, if you can figure out where the hole is when you shoot out there at 200 or 300 or 400 or 500 yards or whatever it is, that's all the scope you need. And if you can do it with a $99 scope, great. If it takes a higher one, then. But if you're looking at competition stuff where it's more precise that you see what you're doing, then probably you're going to want to put a little more money into it. So that's just some options for you and some stuff to think about. There's also another question came up here. Hang on a minute, let me find it. About radio stuff. We've done a lot of shows on radios, but there's a few little details, you know, that escape people sometimes. So I'm just going to throw a couple of things out there just real quickly. There's numerous handheld radios that you can get. If you're looking at going mountain biking or hiking or hunting or, you know, just going for a walk, it depends, again, just like the scopes, it depends on where you're going, what your environment is, what your surroundings are, as far as trees and buildings and mountains, how far do you need to reach, who do you need to reach? So when I talk up, we used to give, had sold lots of pre-packed bug-out bags with, you know, a multi-tool and a knife and a flashlight and a little first aid kit and all this stuff. And I always threw a little FRS, GMRS radio in there. Okay, in a bug-out situation, that generally, in most cases, that's going to be fine. You're trying to keep up with family members. It's probably in the same group. Or you're talking to other people in your group that are within, depending on the terrain, within a mile or so, probably less than that. And you can get away with that. But it's rare that you'll have the opportunity or even know how to reach a repeater with those. With FRS, there's no such thing. You can build one, but I don't know what the legality is on that. There are some GMRS repeaters out there, but you're not going to reach a whole lot of people out there. If you haven't already pre-planned this with other people to be on the receiving end, it's probably not going to help you any, or little, if any. And if it's a poop-hit-the-fan situation, the repeaters are going down unless, you know, somebody has solar-powered, you know, at their repeaters, and EMP didn't take those out, then you might be lucky enough to get one. But this is why the little Bofang, the UV5Rs and the UV82s and the 82HPs and the F8, whatever the heck it is, all of those are fine. Those will reach all of those frequencies, FRS, GMRS, MERS, 2-meter ham frequencies, and the 70-centimeter ham frequencies. There is a lot of damn people that you can reach through those different means right there. Now, understand, it's important, and I've told you this, I don't know how many times, but I'm going to say it out there again. No matter, you cannot say one word on those radios that's legal if you do not have a license or if you're not working under someone else's license. Everything is illegal for different reasons. Are you going to get caught and getting thrown in jail? No. If, by any remote possibility, you get caught, you might get a letter stating that, you know, we heard you doing this and you need not do it anymore, or we're going to whack you for it. But chances are you'll go the rest of your life talking extensively, daily, and never hear a word from them. Unless you start getting into the ham frequencies without a license, and I promise you, you will be caught, and you will be caught relatively soon. But if you don't get stupid with it and don't use any identifying information, names, addresses, phone numbers, stuff like that, and you can even do that to some degree, unless you're, you know, downtown Denver or somewhere and start talking about taking over small countries, call me at BR549 and I'll show you how to do it, then probably the field office in Denver will most likely zero in on that, and you'll probably hear from them. That would be bad. But anyway, if you're not trying to push 1,000 watts into a a GMRS radio with an antenna that's 200 feet in the air, nobody gives a damn that you're talking to. They do not care. Don't think that you're that important that everybody's waiting for you to talk on the radio. It'll be okay. It's not legal. I'm telling you, it's not legal. But as I've said before, not everyone comes to a complete stop at a stop sign. Not everyone drives exactly 65 miles an hour. Not everyone walks across the street with the light. I mean, how many times we commit, no telling how many felonies most of us commit over a lifetime. And certainly misdemeanors are pretty much a daily thing. So this is just another one of those things. Use a little good judgment and you'll be okay. So anyway, we've spent a lot of time on these radios, so I don't want to spend all night on these radios. One thing, some of the accessories, you get lots of accessories with these radios. Christ almighty, you can get just everything in the world for these little radios. But some people have a hard time justifying the money for a throat mic. And I think the throat mic is probably one of the most important pieces of gear that you can get for these things. And they're cheap. What are they, they're $16, $18, $20, something like that. The thing about the throat mic is that they're not like the regular mic on the radio. They have no diaphragms or anything, and they work off of the vibration on your throat. So while you're riding, while you're walking, while you're injured and can't work everything very well, and you can't get the radio out of your pouch that's behind you because you're legs broke and you can't turn over enough to get it out of there, you can live with, you have your radio on front where you can reach it. Don't put it behind you. There's always, we could what if this to death. You could rip your throat mic out when falling through the brush too. You could always lose that. But the thing is, with the throat mic, the ambient noise has no effect on the throat mic. So if you're breathing hard, if the wind's blowing, which it typically is a lot of times when you're out in the woods and stuff, none of that affects the throat mic. You can whisper in the throat mic and it comes out full blast on the other end. You cannot do that just talking into the radio or talking into the headset. Now, if you're, excuse me, hang on just a second here. I think it's swallowed a bug. All right, bug's gone. Now, that doesn't mean if you're hiking that you need to wear a throat mic the whole time you're up there, because you might accidentally talk on the radio day after tomorrow. Of course, you don't do that. But if you're trying to keep up with another person, or you're on a search and rescue operation or something like that, you need to be able to hear it and talk on it all the time and have your hands free, or, as free as you can. So I think they're great, but after saying all that, I'll also say, if I'm just going up the hill here behind the house somewhere or something, and I just want to take a radio so I can stay in touch, if something happens, I just stick a radio in my back pocket, and if I need it, fine. If I don't, it's there. So you have to decide for yourself if that's worth worth getting for you. But some of these cotton picking accessories, by the time you buy them all, you pay six times more than what the radio is worth. But the same can be said for some of the guns that we have and everything else. So it's just one of those things. So. All right, let's see. It's break time, so let's find something here to break with, and then we'll be back after we unbreak it.
I'll be back.
But we have to stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom. and teaching this system that there is a shape we wanted to maintain, and that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
Another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. Alrighty then, we're back. I'm back. Hopefully you're back with me. I've got several news things I want to get on, so I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I think it's something that's important. We've talked about it a few times, but there's, you know, this is one of those things that's a kind of a living, breathing topic. Different facets of this topic come up occasionally. So if you'll notice sometimes when I say, you know, someone has emailed me or someone called and I say a listener did this, that, and the other, if that listener or that person wants their name put out there, they'll put it out there. I'm not typically going to do it. Once in a while, if it's somebody I know and somebody doesn't care, you know, there's some of us out there that everybody already knows this. We can't make it any more secret than it already is, so it's just the way it is. But I will not mention your name and things like that, even if they do know you. It may be something you may have asked a question that you don't want everybody else knowing that you didn't know the answer to. So I don't. You know, it's up to you. If you want to put it out there, put it out there. But it's not going to be me. One of the things that I think people don't, I wrote a big long article about this. Some of you have read it. And I don't think people take security nearly seriously enough. And we've got to this age of social media and electronic communication and all this stuff, and it's so much fun to get out there and let everybody know what you're doing, what you're wearing, what you had for lunch, where you're going, where you've been, how long you're going to be there, da-da-da-da-da, and then wonder why your house got broken into or wonder why you got raped on a trail, you know, a jogging path somewhere like that girl I talked about that time. There are predators out there that watch this kind of stuff. They may not even know you, but they may be fixing to know you when you put enough information out there. So if you're going to let someone know about things like this, do it after the fact. And don't do it if it's something that you do regularly. Let's say you take the same jogging path. You go to the same high school and use their jogging, their track around the field every other day or every evening or whatever. If you've got a routine of some kind, then you don't need to put it on there. Period. Ever. At any time. If you want to say, well, I went and run a couple of miles, fine. Where'd you go? Well, just around town. If you start getting specific about time, and this thing that I wrote, I said that people build profiles. They build profiles with any little tidbit of information that you put out there. Silly women that sit around the beauty shop and talk under the hair dryers and talk about everything that their family does and where they're going. There are people that build profiles from that. When you put it on Facebook or anything, you know, even if it's somebody that is really interested in you, or if you have the type of, let's say you're a person of interest to people that have money and means, then even your email, your text messages, and everything else are not safe. Not safe enough that you can put your life history and everything that you do out on this, in this form of communication. So if you're, that's right, Mountain Shooter. Actually, this is, well, it's OPSEC, Mountain Shooter. It's also COMSEC. COMSEC is communication security. OPSEC is operations security, operational security. So there's hold on just a second here. and this is some of both. Operational security is communication security. I didn't want to tell him where I was going, but the operational part of it is that I went. This is the physical part of it. It's because my ComSec sucked, that my OPSec sucks. Because I let everybody know where I was going, that I wound up getting my house broken into, or my kid got picked up at the football game before I could get there, because I put on Facebook, well, I'm late getting there to pick up little Johnny. I'm hurrying as fast as I can, but it looks like I'm going to be about 20 minutes late. He'll be all right. He'll just sit on the bench and wait for me. Okay? Because they've been watching this for the last week or two or 3 weeks or a month, little Johnny is not going to be there when you get there, because you have to run your mouth on Facebook and tell everybody that you're going to be late. That kind of stuff is not to be talked about on social media, some of it not even after the fact, but certainly not before. Amy said also that if your house is broken into while you're away, the insurance companies check all your social media accounts and see if you posted that. If you did, many of your insurance companies will not cover it. So if you are, and this goes not, it goes for people with money. People that have money, people that have, if someone would have a reason to know about this, that's one thing. It goes for, young pretty girls. They don't have to be young, just pretty girls, period. Women, females, period. When you start talking about that, and you, the more desirable you are, the more danger you come into by putting this stuff out there. You know, somebody like me, I probably it's less likely, although there are those out there that might do it out of revenge, out of meanness, you know, just because of things I've done, places I've been, you know, over the course of my life. And I know that there's other people out there that that would do this. You know, if he was the Bundys and people like that, you don't want to go out there and announce where you're going and what you're doing. Doc is probably right to some degree, is that no one should even belong to social media. It's a lose-lose proposition. Well, yes and no. For some people, it certainly is. For those of us that have businesses and, you know, we try to promote things and help people and share information and all that, it is absolutely priceless. But if you're going to do it smart. Don't share things that don't need to be shared. If you, any of you that read that deal that I wrote, the most important thing, the go home, the take home lesson there was three words. Repeat after me. I've said this on this show before. I'm going to say it again right now. Need to know. Need to know is the answer to all your communication woes. If people don't need to know, don't tell them. If you want to tell them after the fact and there's no danger or no you know, you're not going to jeopardize, put anything in jeopardy for doing that, that's a little bit different. But particularly prior to the fact, put on there only what people need to know. Locations, addresses, destinations, phone numbers, names, any type of identifying information whatsoever. Does somebody need to know where you're going when you go out riding your bike or hunting or hiking or something? Absolutely, beyond any shadow of a doubt, but you don't tell them on Facebook. You put your destination, whether it's an address or a town that you're going to or a certain mountain that you're going to when you're hunting or something like that. Certainly you do. You need to let somebody know so they have some kind of a starting point if something were to happen. There's this, Amy was just showing me a deal here that her, family members were using for, or was talking about a friend that was using this for their son who was a bike rider of some kind or something. And it's some kind of program that you get that monitors exactly where you go, I guess, in real time. And that's probably a really neat deal and probably helps out a lot when people get lost or get injured or something. And I can see that being a good thing. I think there's other ways to do it without using that, but if you're going to use it, I think that I would keep it very, very quiet. Use it when necessary. Anything over the airways is not, well, I won't say anything. There's some things you can do that's secure. But it's for the average person, anything that you put out over the airways is not secure. It is available to anybody that has a little bit of knowledge of computers and airways and radios and whatnot. So a lot of that stuff can be hacked into, and let's say you put one of these applications on your kid's phone or something, or in your kid's backpack or whatever, and somebody finds out about it, and you happen to be a millionaire, then that kid's going to be up for ransom here before the end of the week. So it need to know is a very important thing. If you get that down, you can probably, you can get by pretty well. That's right, Mountain Shooter. Governments have long memories. There's no doubt about that. Long memories. Unless it's about the money that they owe you or something like that. But in other ways, they have long memories. So anyway, just something to think about. And I know how much fun it is to let everybody, oh, yeah, I'm going to Hawaii. I'm on the boat. I'm on the ferry going across the whatever. Well, there you are, real time. Tell them just exactly where you're at and what you're doing. And it could be, you know, we managed to get along without all this stuff 30 years ago, 40, 50 years ago. And how we got to live to be as old as we are without that, I have no idea. But we did. And we probably can continue to, and being a little bit more cautious about some of the things that we do. So there you have it. Take it for what it's worth. Do with it what you want to. Throw it in the trash. I don't care what you do with it. All right. Let's move on here. Civil War. Everybody wants a civil war until civil war gets here. Well, right now, currently, people think there's a third of the population, almost a third, of all U.S. voters think that a second civil war, a civil war 2.0, is coming. We're on the brink of it right now, on the threshold. So, and you know, if there was ever a time to, this is big news, this is big business here. It's not a matter to be taken lightly. It's not going to be a riot. If an actual civil war, shooting civil war, we're practically in civil war right now. But so far, our weapons are social media, text messages, phones, and just language and threats and whatever. Now, do you really think that any of this is just going to blow over and it's going to smooth over and go away and everything is going to be back to what it was during Andy of Mayberry days? No. It's not. It's not. Probably not ever. Certainly not till after something eventful happens here. You know, this there's threats from the left saying they're saying if Kavanaugh gets confirmed that they're going to do something violent. Well, add that to November 6th, coming up here in just a shade over a month. this election could be the catalyst to get this thing going. It surely has the potential. Everybody wants a civil war except those that have seen war. And I've said, I don't know how many times I've said this, I'm the last person in the world wants a war. You know, we've got kids and stuff that they still want to do and then the civil war just doesn't fit into those plans right now. I just really don't. You know, I'm just not interested in living in a cave and eating raw mice for years waiting on things to get back to normal. I just ain't. But that being said, like Thomas Paine said, if it has to happen, let it happen now. And while there's still some of us around that have the knowledge and the skill and the know-how know-how and knowledge, the same thing, isn't it? Oh, now we got double of it now. Every year that we wait, we're losing more people that are going to be effective in fighting this war. No, I don't by any remote stretch want this to happen. But if it doesn't happen pretty soon, if something doesn't happen and get this turned around, you see the direction it's going, right? Do you not watch the news? Do you not look at Facebook? Do you listen to the radio? Do you watch TV? Do you do anything, or do you just live in a cave and not pay any attention to what's going on around you? That is the easiest thing to do right now, is not pay any attention to what's going on around you. All that means is when and if something happens, that you're going to be caught with your pants down, and it's going to go very, very hard for you. So it's damn if you do and damn if you don't. It's so much more comfortable, so much easier to ignore all this stuff. No social media, turn the radio off, no television. We'll watch movies, and when they start talking about it at the barbershop, just leave and go somewhere else. We don't even want to know. I can't tell you how much my stress level would go down if I could do that. But it's too late. You know, the cat's out of the bag now. But there is a sizable, almost 100 million people. Right at 100 million people, you know, I shouldn't say that. They're of the registered voters, so I don't know how many there is, but I think it's safe to say that there's probably somewhere between 20 and 50 million, I don't know, that believe that we're on the brink of a civil war. So with all that being said, I guess you can, however strongly you feel about it, then that's how you need to approach your deal with your preparations and whatever, as far as the money that you spend and the things that you do and the things that you buy for long-term preparedness and all that. Mountain Shooter, you and me both. You and me both. There's, it's a damn shame that we have to be where we're at like this, because just to go to Phoenix or to go to, Flagstaff or Albuquerque or someplace that's 4 or 5 hours away, and we wind up taking a whole carload full of crap just in case something happens while you're gone. Because I cannot imagine how disappointed and sick and angry I would be if something happened and I was out there with only what I had, on my back. Could I survive it? Probably so. For what I carry on me all the time, I could probably get by. But it would be a whole lot easier, especially over the long haul, if I didn't have to fight and kill and everything for every single inch of ground that I gain, it would be so much better if I could just have my stuff with me. So, anyway, why don't I just go on and on and on about it? Well, let's don't. You heard about this mega church here recently? A guy named Andy Stanley is a pastor of this mega church. He seems to think that the Ten Commandments are no longer applicable and that you should detach yourself from the Old Testament because it is outdated. You know, like the Constitution and stuff, is that we don't pay attention to that stuff anymore. So everything is better if you don't do that. But I think if you will read somewhere in Matthew that that's not the way it works. You guys can look it up. Real quick, we're about out of time. This new law that passed here in Oregon not too long ago about gun confiscations over people that they say are violent, scary, sick, whatever, suspicious, don't think they should have guns. So far, 46 people have lost their guns in the name of safety under this new law in Oregon. I know there's a few probably in Washington that have too. They stress that it's only after they've been found reasonably, they have to have an extreme risk protection order and all this kind of stuff. But the grounds for doing this are pretty loose. Pretty easy to get it if they really want it. So that's that could turn into a really, really serious thing. All right, one more thing here real quick. Where did I lost it? There it is. I haven't checked on this yet. It's brand new. Come out 3 days ago. And I haven't verified this completely yet, but if this is true, an Orange County judge has ruled the California sanctuary law unconstitutional. Mountain Shooter, maybe you've heard something about that. I just got this yesterday, and I've just been so busy I have not had time to look at it, but from all the references and things in it, it looks pretty legitimate. If it does, if it is, then there's one more thing that we can add to the Civil War stuff that may be coming up here before long. This sanctuary law and guns being taken away at the drop of a hat and all this other stuff going on. Just very tumultuous times we're living in right now. Sure enough is. Okay, well, I have had all the fun I can stand. That hour went pretty dang quick. But I'll be back Wednesday. Still got some other things, trying to clean out my news locker here and just keep getting sidetracked on other stuff. But anyway, there you have it. I'll see you Wednesday, and I hope everyone has a good rest of the week up until Wednesday. And I'll talk to you then. Good night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.